Stani Guru, Stani Guru, Stani Show. Let's go.
All right, Matt Stavitz along with Evan Giddings today. Guru under the weather. Hopefully we'll be back on Monday. And great night in Birmingham, Alabama last night. We're going to get into some of that later on. We've got Roy Wood Jr., a Birmingham, Alabama native. He's a stand-up comedian. You probably also know him from The Daily Show, where he was a former correspondent. And last night he was the sideline reporter at the Rickwood Field game. He was a part of MLB Network coverage. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. And did I mention he's a stand-up comedian? And my partner, Evan, said, oh, he's hilarious.
We got to stay on our toes. One of those guys that, you know, he knows his stuff. He's a big baseball fan.
All right.
But I've never interviewed a comedian before. So I'm kind of curious.
Huh.
Like, have you ever talked to a comic live on air?
That's a great question.
I'm afraid I'm asking a stupid question and he's just going to...
Like Dibs? Like Dibley? Boy, nothing gets by you.
That's an all-time Burr. Response.
No, that was a good response. One. That was a real good one. So there is news around the NBA. And the Golden State Warriors season obviously ended over a month ago. But let me just run down... Lots going on. So let me just throw some stuff at you. Paul George. There's talk about him. He's Clipper opting into his contract and then being traded.
Yeah.
So he's got one more year left. It's a player option.
He could $48.7 million.
Right. So he could opt in order to be traded because he does want an extension. So Paul George, that's his situation. Howard Beck of The Ringer is reporting that Miami's going to trade Jimmy Butler. And he's got two more years left at about $100 million with the second year a player option. So Jimmy Butler looks like he could be on the move according to Howard Beck. This was a trade that I felt had Warrior ties. It happened yesterday. Oklahoma City. It's going to trade Josh Giddey to the Bulls for Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is a name that has been affiliated in some way with the Warriors for, it feels like, 2 or 3 years, Evan. He's a heck of a defender. He plays hard. He's smart. Former Laker. He's now going to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey. And let me just... You know, I'll go through a bunch of this other... Malik Monk getting about $20 million a year. So, what'd you think of when you heard, Caruso's gone to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey?
I thought it was a good move. By the way, we are going to have LaTroy Hawkins at 11 o'clock. So, we'll be talking to him. He was also at Rickwood Field last night. Longtime pitcher, pitched for many teams, honestly too many to count. One of them, of course, was the San Francisco Giants, but he pitched for what seemed like 2 decades. So looking forward to chatting with him about that event last night as well. But I think my first reaction to the Caruso trade was mutually beneficial. I mean, it was basically a player swap. Wasn't much else involved. Caruso, I think, really helps OKC. I think he makes them a little bit tougher, gives them more... Like, I think he gives them... more of a veteran presence that they were looking for from, say, like Gordon Hayward when they traded for him at the deadline, and he didn't end up playing much. But Caruso is an addition there, and then I think Giddey is, you know, he's not a perfect player, but he's young, and he's a really good passer. He does everything outside of scoring, and he gives them a contingency plan if Lonzo Ball ends up being essentially damaged goods, which he appears to be right now. So, you know, I also think that Caruso is somebody that the Warriors wanted. From reports, it sounded like the hang-up was that the Bulls wanted Kuminga, and the Warriors wanted to build a package around Moses Moody, and the Bulls said no. That was at the trade deadline this past year. So I also imagine the Warriors probably made calls about him this offseason, and I'm sure that the Bulls also kept asking for Kuminga. And so the Bulls essentially decided that someone like Josh Giddey would be easier for them to... you know, kind of use, and OKC was willing to move off him. So,
yeah, I look at it as I think Caruso's a nice player. Nice player. I think he'd fit on the Warriors. Okay, so Josh Giddey goes, Do the Warriors have anybody like Josh Giddey? And I would say no, they don't. And what I mean by that is they think Kuminga is better than Josh Giddey. The Warriors, or his potential, is better than Josh Giddey. So they're not gonna want to move Kuminga for Josh Giddey. By the same token, if you start throwing around Moody and Pajemski, that's not going to be enough. I mean, to me, Giddey's more valuable. He's better to me than Moody and Pajemski. So when I see Caruso going to Oklahoma City, you also realize kind of the limitations of the roster and what guys are getting paid. I wonder if there was even a deal out there for a player like Caruso that Chicago would realistically want, that the Warriors would realistically give him back. Like, I wouldn't trade Kuminga for Caruso. And if I'm the Bulls, I'm not trading Caruso for Moody or Pajemski. So, you know, obviously you can try to make it even, but I think there is some truth to the idea that the Warriors players, some of them, like, they don't hold as much value to other teams, and the ones that you value, you really don't want to move, or that they don't want. So I saw the trade of Caruso, and my first thought is, huh, I wonder why the Warriors couldn't get Caruso. And then I'm starting to think about it. I'm like, well, I can kind of see why guys like Caruso are going to be tough to acquire, because they're not going to want your players who they don't think is as good as them, and you think your players are better than them.
I mean, I think it just highlights the lack of young players that have cemented themselves or that other teams want. Like, I think the Warriors see their young players as really good, and I think other teams see the Warriors' young players as unproven.
Yeah.
And it's hard to ask for unproven players when the other team you're dealing with feels like they hold value. It also does highlight the fact that Kuminga's the chip. Like, that is the trade asset that everyone wants from the Golden State Warriors. And I don't think the Warriors would be willing to move him unless it's for a couple of names which you mentioned. Perhaps Paul George, if he opts in, they could use him as a trade chip. The Clippers could. Jimmy Butler is someone that, in all likelihood, will be moved this offseason. That's somebody I think the Warriors might move off of Kuminga for. But it's got to be a player of that caliber. It's got to be a former All-NBA player. I don't think that the Warriors would move Kuminga for just a nice piece, which is what I think Alex Caruso is. So when I see that move and I hear about the Warriors and who they want but who they're not willing to give up, I think there's just a little bit of a disconnect between how the Warriors see their young players and how the rest of the league does.
Yeah, and I don't think that's unusual for teams. Most teams do tend to value their own guys. Let me just, who do you want to be, the Bulls or the Warriors? Who do you want to be, Karnišević?
I'd rather be the Warriors.
Okay, so then I'm going to be the Bulls.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, we really like, we like Kuminga. You guys interested in moving him at all?
Yeah, so I kind of like Vucevic and Caruso. Would you be willing to move both?
You stumped me right there. Yeah, let's get it done.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like,
I know.
It sounds like the Warriors just wanted, I think. It sounded right. Like the Warriors just wanted Caruso. And the Bulls were saying, we want Kuminga back. And the Warriors probably responded with, well, if we're giving up our guy, like, you got to give us more than, you know, Alex Caruso.
Well, okay, I would say this. Forget Kuminga for now. What about Wiggins? You interested in Andrew Wiggins?
If I was the Bulls, actually, I might be.
Okay, because that's kind of what I was getting at, is, you know, could you have gotten Caruso in a trade with Wiggins? Obviously, it might have had to be a three-team trade. But you would certainly, like, is everybody in agreement they... And I know the salaries don't match, but you would take Caruso for Wiggins right now, straight up.
I would.
I think you have to if you're the Warriors.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
The issue if you're Chicago is if you don't think you can move LaVine, well, then you got multiple players that have... I mean, Wiggins isn't making as much as LaVine is, but you have multiple players that are on long-term deals that... one of which has not proven that they can help you even get to the postseason, being Zach LaVine.
Right.
I think they're trying to trade LaVine, and it sounds like Sacramento actually might be a team that could go get him.
It certainly seems like if you can, yes, I think you could get LaVine. Do you want him?
Well, Guru does. I would not want Zach LaVine.
Well, I mean, I would take him on my team if you could just drop him onto my team, but I can't give up something that I truly like for LaVine.
I would run around the studio naked.
I can't pay Zach LaVine $50 million. I just can't.
That's kind of where I'm at with him. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Austin. Austin's in San Jose. What's up, Austin? How you doing, my man?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to just say thank you to the station, man, for the last couple of days. You guys have put some great guys on the air, and also the callers on with respect to Willie have been unbelievable and moving. So I just want to give
thank you, man,
to your station.
Appreciate it.
The second thing, listen, man, I feel like, and I've been saying this for a while, I think, Evan, you nailed it, man. I think that the Warriors, and I've said this, place way too much value on our young guys, as opposed to other young guys around the league. And I feel like sometimes I'm bad mouthing our guys. But the reality is that, man, I mean, listen, Moody and these guys, I mean, people around here keep talking like these guys are going to develop into something special. And I can say I'm pretty confident after 3 years, going on 4 years in the Warriors system with 20 coaches behind Kerr, somebody's seeing something that says these guys aren't the guys. So and I do think we're placing a little bit too much value on Kuminga. I would love to know what the conversation was, Steiny, with Chicago, because I absolutely had Caruso on my – I circled Caruso and other people did. He's absolutely a piece that the Warriors could use, but he isn't the only piece. I would see Caruso and then they're moving some other people to bring in some other guys. The Warriors need to reshuffle their roster, man. I'm scared to death, Steiny and Evan, that we're going to be sitting here a month from now, and God help us if the Warriors are bringing back the same team. I mean, this whole Klay Thompson thing, we're getting bogged down on Klay Thompson. That is the least of our worries. If we bring back Klay, and here's Peyton opting in, I mean, I'm scared, man. Everybody's running around signing guys. Malik Monk. Well, what are we going to be left with? Dunleavy better get rolling, man. Because if we bring the same guys back, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, guys. So that's kind of my thoughts for the day, man.
I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks for the kind words too, Austin. I mean, look, we had a fun interview the other day with Fitz, and and he got me to thinking.
I live with these people. Right. I love these people. They're part of my family.
So of course. I've heard Guru say it, and Fitz subscribes to it, and I do think there's a chunk of Warrior fans who believe it or who want to go down this road. And it's, if Draymond wouldn't have got suspended, we're a 50 plus win team. How much different does a 50 win team look than the one we just saw? Everything's different. So you know what? We don't have to be crazy. We don't have to make a lot of changes. You know, we maybe do bring back. I'm telling you right now, I dare you. I dare you to try to bring back the same team, thinking that you're a 53 win team with Draymond, re-signing Klay, and essentially going, let's tinker around the edges with a move. Wiggins might get it going next year. Like I dare the Warriors to do that, because I don't truly believe that a lot of fans truly believe that it's a 53-win team if Draymond doesn't get suspended. Because, you know what? If Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob think that, fine. Then come back next year with essentially the same team. I dare you. You can't do that. I just don't think you can do that.
I don't think they want to do it.
Right. That's a good point.
But they might kind of be forced into doing it, because I don't know how many avenues there are for them to get realistically better. Again, we just talked about the rock and the hard place they're with, you know, with trading Kuminga. They think Kuminga's a great piece. Now, I might think that Kuminga, for example, has more potential than say, Austin, but I understand all their young pieces are unproven. Like, all of them. Right. I mean, there isn't a cemented, like, if I asked you what Kuminga's role is with the Golden State Warriors right now, would you be able to tell me clearly?
No.
And I don't know what his role is going to be next year. I would hope that it improves and then he becomes a more focal point, because That means he's also getting better as a player, but I don't know that. Next year, I think Moses Moody could be a starting two guard, even if Clay is still on the team. But I don't know that. I mean, Pajemski could be the starting two. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I have ideas of what I think these players can be next season, but there's no way to know, and that's where I think the Warriors are hesitant to move off of their younger guys because they also don't know how quickly the elder statesmen are going to fall off. Like, Steph could actually, he could have a rebound year. At age 36, he could be better than age 35. I don't know. There's also potential that he could be the guy that was after the All-Star break in which he had some trouble. I'd like to think he won't be, but I don't know that. And so I don't believe the Warriors want to stay the same. I don't think they want to keep the, quote, band together. But unless they want to take a significant step back in restructuring the roster, they might just have to bring these pieces back or some of these pieces back because there's not an alternative. Like, if I'm another team right now, let's say I'm the Miami Heat, and right. It sounds like they're going to trade Jimmy Butler, or a lot of executives believe they're going to trade Jimmy Butler. Well, can the Warriors really offer the best package for Jimmy Butler compared to the 29 other teams in the league? They might be able to offer a good one,
right?
But there are other teams that have sexier young assets that have better young players that have more draft capital to offer. So it's not as if the Warriors, I think the Warriors want to make a big move, but it takes two to tango. And I'm not sure that they have what it takes to make the kind of offer that can court and that can bring back an actual game changer.
I mean, the one thing that they do have, if they really want to, are future first round picks. And they might not be able, you know, you think of a guy like Pat Riley, who's in Miami, and the Warriors, maybe if he loves Kuminga, let's say, okay, well, we're going to need more than Kuminga, but we really like Kuminga, so here's a trade involving Jimmy. You get Jimmy, we'll take Kuminga and whatever else we agree on, and two or three first-round picks down the line. I think if I'm Pat Riley, I would be like in a heartbeat. Because there's two things to this. One is you're getting a good young player in Kuminga, and two is there. If I'm a rival GM, and the Warriors start throwing around the idea of first round picks in 26 or 28, I am excited about talking to the Warriors about a trade, because you're darn right that I'm looking at the Warriors as another team thinking they could be in big trouble in 3 years. They could be. Not that they will be, but that's why you trade for a future first, because you think, you know what, yeah, the Warriors are pretty good now, but what about in 2 or 3 years? The other thing Austin said that I completely agree with is the Warriors know their players better than anybody else. Every team knows their players better than everybody else. But each of those players has a value around the league that either is in line with what the Warriors think or not in line. Here's what I'm getting at. If I'm Mike Dunleavy, here's where I agree with Austin. If I'm Mike Dunleavy and I realize through all my phone calls that Pajemski's got value, I move him. Like, I would move him then. If Dunleavy were talking to you in private and said, I got to tell you, man, Pajemski, I'm kind of surprised. Teams are asking about him, and, you know, they're not offering crap on the other side. And
they heard the question he asked Luka in the finals, and they really liked the cerebral nature of this guy.
I mean, they not only get a guard, but they get somebody who can run their internet site, somebody who can write for their...
A future media member?
Exactly. But I do agree with Austin. Like, if you find out one of your young guys has more value and it surprises you, yeah, then I would. Like, there's nobody untouchable on this roster, even Kuminga, I guess is what I'm saying. Leave Steph to the side for now. But, like, I can't consider Kuminga off limits, but I'm not trading him unless it's the right guy coming back.
Well, but you also just said you have to think about 2 or 3 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to move picks, why would you move young players? To me, they're kind of the same.
Well, my point is...
Like, all of them are gambles at this point. Like, I don't know if Kuminga is going to be an all-star. I'd like to think he can be, but he's... Right now, he's a wild card. Moses Moody's a wild card. Those first-round picks that you don't want to move are wild cards.
What I'm saying is if Pat Riley goes, yeah, Butler's making 48 or something. I'll tell you what. Warriors are offering Kuminga, Wiggins... And Wiggins making 25. We still need another Wiggins and Payton. That would probably do it. We'll trade you Payton, Wiggins, and Kuminga for Jimmy Butler. Well, if I'm Pat Riley, I'm saying, yeah, give me a couple first rounders though down the line. Now maybe that's when the Warriors say, well, we can't do that. But that's the danger. To me, the danger and the choice the Warriors may have to make, and maybe I'm wrong, is if you somehow have an opportunity to get a Butler or a Paul George or somebody else of that ilk.
Harden?
I can't see it, Bob.
That was a joke.
But then you got to be darn careful about moving first-round picks when your core is 35 and older. You know what I mean? Like, you have to at least anticipate the possibility that if you don't have your first round pick in 26 or 27, it may be the second pick in the draft. Eighth, who cares? That's to me the biggest worry of the Golden State. Like, that's why I don't know what's more valuable, Jonathan Kuminga or, let's say, two first round picks down the line. Because both, if you move either, they could both come back to bite you.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Your first round pick in 5 years could be incredible. It also could be a draft like this year where you have the first overall pick and you don't want the pick because there's nobody worth taking. Like, I feel like looking 5 years, like, I don't think the Warriors are in a position to look 5 years down the line right now.
How about three?
So, to the end of Curry's deal?
Essentially.
Or Draymond's deal?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, but then I'm thinking about 3 years in. I'm not thinking about 3 years and out. Like, I'm sorry. I am considering what is left of Curry.
Okay.
No, what happens
saying.
After Curry.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Like, you talk about what you owe legends or what you owe, you know, a future Hall of Famer. You know, Klay Thompson might think he's owed it.
Right.
I think the only guy on the roster left that you owe anything to, in my opinion, is Steph Curry.
Well, we get into the owed thing. I agree. Like, if you don't, I agree about the Klay Thompson stuff. If the Warriors don't want to pay him 25, then he's got to go. You know what I mean? Or if they don't like the number, okay, good luck in Orlando. But, you know, does that fit with what you owe Curry? Like, if you're going to play that game, like, what's Curry want with Klay? Does he want him as a teammate? Is he open to him not being on the team? We're going to get more into this down the road on, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, we're going to talk to LaTroy Hawkins
next. We are talking to LaTroy Hawkins, former major league pitcher. He was at the game last night in Birmingham. We are going to be sprinkling in a lot of stuff from that game because it was such an important day yesterday. It's been a pretty important week, quite frankly. And LaTroy Hawkins is on the other side, former major league pitcher, pitched for the San Francisco Giants. I didn't appreciate when you said LaTroy Hawkins, and I said, oh, pitch for the Twins. And you go, yeah, they pitched for every team. I remember him as a Twin. And you shamed me.
So he was drafted by.
Oh, exactly.
Played for 13 teams, Steiny.
Right, and you scoffed when I said, oh, you pitch for the Twins. I mean, I could have, and I was going to run down the other 12, but you wouldn't let me. what's coming up on the game is LaTroy Hawkins on the other side, and it's presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.